for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 26th, 1990. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This service is a deliverance service. Irma Miller will be the main teacher.
Hallelujah! I am strong! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! 1 week ago today, we were drowning, literally drowning. But we were under tornadoes. We were praying against tornadoes. We were praying for our safety because they were hitting right out west of town. And the Lord preserved us. And then in the evening, we never dreamed that we would be flooded like we were on Saturday night. And so we had the basement flooded. We had the tape room and the book room flooded. And we lost the bridge going to our house. So last Sunday, we just sat over there and looked across.
Well, Kevin and Patty and everybody worked on
and everybody worked trying to clean up the mess. And it was such a mess. And they hauled stuff out of the basement. A lot of paper goods were down there and a lot of stuff, just stuff, you know. Everybody has to have stuff. and the tape room and the book room, and we... All the masters, lots of masters in the basement that are old but wonderful of the early days of our taping ministry way back in 1965 and 66. I think there's about 500 tapes the insurance man said was wet. And so, but we're alive. I thought it was bad enough that Glenn broke his leg, broke his hip. I thought that was enough tribulation. And then I thought the flood, that was enough. And then we had 83 young people from the Second Baptist Church in Conway here all last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we had let them use our equipment over here, never dreaming that they were going to cross up wires and they burn up the whatever that thing is, amplifier. And so, and Glenn had not been out of the house for 3 weeks, except to get on the front porch. But he come down the stairs and out and got in the truck. That's the only way we had to come over here. And he came over here, and they went out and purchased this new one. So right up until the camp meeting started, I felt that catastrophe was all around us. But the Lord. But Jesus. Hallelujah. All of my life, it seems like I've been a Christian, but we keep having to overcome things. We have to rise above things constantly, hitting us, disturbing us, anxieties, fears, demonic powers coming against us, all these things, but we'd never be an overcomer if we didn't have something to overcome. And you know who gets all the juicy rewards in the book of Revelations? The overcomers. How many want to be an overcomer this afternoon? Now, the enemy of our soul is bound determined that we're not going to be overcomers. Now, how many know we have an enemy? We do have an enemy. Now, Jesus talked a lot about the devil. You know why? Because he was constantly plagued with him. The devil hates Jesus. He doesn't really hate us very much. He just hates the Jesus in us. I'm sure that if we weren't trying to move on in God, we wouldn't be so... Bothered is a good word. Bothered. But praise God, we're going to move on anyway. We're walking up to Zion. You know, all day long, it's been ringing in my ears. We used to sing that old song, and I was in my early days. We're marching to Zion. We didn't even know what we were singing about. I didn't. I thought it was a nice place. You know, how many's ever heard that song? I think Linda will have to get it out. We're marching to Zion. I bet he can. I bet he can. Well, praise God, we're moving up. And the closer we come up into the spirit world, the more the battalions of the enemy is going to come down toward us. I don't want to be a gloomy preacher this afternoon. I'm not a preacher. I'm only a handmaiden of the Lord. Glenn and I are not preachers. We don't claim to be. We are helpers. We have the ministry of helps. Now, this morning, I see our little friend that came in off of the street who gave his heart to Jesus this morning, asked Jesus to come in. You know, that's worth it all. That's worth it all. And the Lord preserved him. He was in a dumpster sleeping uptown. He'd gotten in town on the 21st, and he had gotten in that dumpster to get out of the rain and in underneath something, I don't know what. And they come along and with the hydraulic lift and press down on him 3 or 4 times. And he finally, the Lord preserved his life. Isn't that amazing? How many believe the Lord preserves all of our lives? I can testify to that because from the day I was born, I didn't know this for a long, long time till some man of God discerned it. I always wondered about it. But I was born with a curse of death on me coming from my grandmother. She wished I would die the day I was born. And she made it known to everybody. And I used to go to death's door all the time, but the Lord spared my life. And one day, a minister of God, walking in the Spirit, he just says to me, "Irma, you have a curse of death on you." I didn't even know, never heard about it before. We didn't hear much about curses in the early days of Pentecost. In fact, I never even started hearing about curses till about 69, 70. But when he prayed for me, I could feel something lift off of me. And I felt so much better. And I have observed this week that many people have had a curse of death on them. And many people's countenance today is much lighter than when they came in here Thursday. Praise the Lord that he still, you know, Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. And healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I learned that scripture in a Sunday school class when I was about 10 years old. And I have never forgotten that scripture. And I never really understood much about it because we didn't understand anything about deliverance. And the enemy had tried to kill me many, many times up through until they prayed for me. I think that was around in 1969 or 70. Am I echoing back? And I'll tell you just a little bit of healing. I felt that I should just walk up here and start praying for the sick. Instead, I've got all kinds of notes, and I don't always follow my notes. I get up here and go off on a rabbit trail someplace. But in 1957, I had a total nervous collapse, and they took me to the hospital. And of course, I didn't know what was coming off. I was already gone. I'd worked very, very hard in supervision at Lockheed Missiles and supervised these 2 shifts. I'd really burned myself out. And then when you burn yourself out, the enemy can hit you. Well, they took me to this hospital, a very exclusive small hospital for the mentally sick. Of course, I didn't know I was mentally sick. I always thought I had a pretty good mind and never dreamed what was wrong with me. And I didn't even know anything was wrong with me until it all happened. And I was in the hospital several weeks, and they gave me 17 shock treatments. I didn't have a brain left in my head. I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know I was married. I didn't know I had teenagers. I didn't know who Glenn was. I didn't know anything. They knocked every brain out of my head. Well, we didn't know anything about the enemy. Now I understand about the enemy. I know it was his work, even though I had brought a lot of it on myself. We all bring a lot of things on ourselves, you know. But we have to learn by the school of hard knocks, I think. We have to, and I appreciate the Lord allowing me to go through so many various things so I will be able to minister to people who come in here. Otherwise, I would have been, you know, adulterers coming in or homosexuals coming in. I just said, I can't pray for them. Sometimes I hold my head now when I see a carload of people coming for deliverance. I can't help it. I'm still a human being, and I'll say to Patty, here they come. We get the hard cases. I wish you had some church down there that I could.
We have our share.
Like to send a few down that way. Well, anyway, after several weeks, and I was totally gone in my mind, Glenn got up in church and said, if anybody's interested in praying for Irma, please come up in the Sunday school room upstairs if you're interested in praying for Irma. Now, a lot of people in the church, it's a big church, they didn't know what was wrong with me. They thought I was just, I don't know what they thought. I didn't care what they thought because I didn't know what I was thinking. So he said the Lord showed him if they would fast and pray around the clock, wasn't it? At the church, come to the church. I mean, he was really diligent. He wanted, and he said, I'll come at noon, and I'll come early in the morning, and I'll come in the evening. And there was, I don't know how many people come up there. Not very many.
There's, well, pointing out of the church that day, we had about 265 or 70 in Sunday school, I think about 20 showed up.
Now, 20 people came up, and they began to pray. And, you know, when we pray in tongues, we don't know how much the Holy Spirit is rebuking the enemy. You know, a lot of people said, oh, Christians can't have demons. Well, you ought to live in a parsonage for a while, shouldn't they? I didn't know what was coming off in my dad's church in all the years. I never knew what made the deacon. He gave a message in tongues last Sunday. I didn't understand why he was slapping and beating his wife around during the week and coming to the parsonage for help. And, of course, we were sworn to absolute secrecy. You know, my dad would say, don't you ever say anything about this. You know, half of that is pride. Half of that is pride. Don't let anybody know the deacon is out of order. Well, anyway, they started to pray and fast. And Monday it started. And Tuesday it started. Wednesday it kept on. And Thursday I woke up. I woke up out of my, wherever I'd been, and I thought I'd been in another car wreck. I saw nurses, and I saw funny people. I mean, I didn't know I was a funny one, too. And I started asking questions. Where's my husband? Where's my children? Where am I? And the girl in the other bed, she said, well, you're tired. I said, well, I'm not tired. I got up out of bed. I looked at in the mirror in the bathroom, and my hair, I had longer hair then. Hair was standing out like Phyllis Diller's, and I saw my cosmetic case there, and I saw my curlers, and I just put my head under the bathtub faucet. I saw some shampoo. I shampooed my hair, put my hair up in curlers, and I started asking more and more questions. And they told me, I think, that Glenn would come. Would you come on Saturday to get me? They didn't let him come all the time, just so many days a week or something. He came on Saturday and took me home. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. He's our healer. He's our healer. He's our healer. I praise him today. I praise him. They told Glenn I'd never come out. They said she's a total vegetable for the rest of her life.
They gave you permission to take you home?
No, they didn't.
Took you out for a walk and never brought you back.
How many believe in miracles? How many believe that Jesus can heal today? You know, I'm way off my course, but that's all right. I believe Linda had the message when she began to sing about healing. We were at Evangelistic Temple in Houston. You've probably been there with Brother Prince in 1969. And I was helping him with his books and his tapes. And I don't remember, were you taping? I guess you were. And I was out in the foyer. You know how that church is built. And the doors were shut. And after the meeting, it was the last morning meeting. After the meeting, I heard somebody scream. And I opened the sliding door, or the double door, and I didn't see a soul in there. I just saw Brother Prince and some people going out the back door. So I wondered who it was, and I thought, well, I guess it isn't anything. And pretty soon, a lady that had had cancer walked up to the table. She was over there, and she started to cry because she had fallen in love with me. I'd just been there a week, but she was always coming, and I'd hug her and pray for her and everything, and she was getting ready to leave the Anderson, MD Anderson Hospital and go home. And she started to weep. And I said, oh, honey, don't let that spirit of grief take you over. And when I said that, a woman dressed in a very beautiful white ensemble, we just were getting polyester in, and she was a beautiful lady, had prematurely gray hair and just stunning looking, and she says, she doesn't have a spirit of grief. And she screamed and fell to the floor. And I realized that was that same woman that was down in front. Well, I was hoping Brother Prince would come to my rescue, or Glenn would come to our rescue. And there, this other lady was there, the cancer victim. And we got down on our knees and we began to pray for that lady. Now, I'm not going to labor this story. It was a long process because the music director, you probably know him, he walked by with a policeman. Now, this woman was the oil man's wife. She had diamonds as big as acorns all over her fingers. And she was throwing herself on that stone foyer. And she'd been really ripping her clothes off. And the devil was throwing her around. And we were praying. And all of a sudden, she just quieted down. Just long enough for that policeman and the music director to come by. And the policeman said, oh, could we help? And the music director says, oh, no, she's just fainted. She'll be all right in a minute. And they walked on through. Well, a preacher came in then, and he got down on his knees, and we all began to pray. And this demon was talking out of her. How many of you ever heard a demon talking out of people? Well, he was talking, and all of a sudden he said, the man left, the preacher left, and then there was another preacher's wife there with me, and this demon said, you don't know my name. If there's anything that makes me righteously angry, it's the devil chatting against me. And I said, no, I don't know your name. And I didn't know his name. And we prayed in tongues some more, and finally the Holy Spirit just rose up in me like fire and came out and said, we don't know your name, but the Holy Ghost knows your name. We command in the name of Jesus, you give us your name. It says, my name is unbelief. I kill the Christians. I won't let them believe they are healed. Well, how do you like that? I started thinking. Yeah, it says, I kill more Christians than death gifts. Real arrogant. And how many, you've seen it. People get healed in the Catherine Kuhlman meetings, the Oral Roberts meetings. They get healed. Literally, they are healed. And they go home and about the symptoms will spring up from the enemy. And if you don't fight those right then, when he comes at you, see, that's the spirit of unbelief.
That's right.
And when he comes at you, you must turn him at the gate. Don't entertain those thoughts. Just say, I am healed.
Amen.
Believe that? Are you with me?
Amen.
Say that, I am healed. I was healed a while ago. When Linda was singing. When I had my hand on my head. My mind. I receive the mind of Christ now in that area where that enemy departed. I will not entertain him one more minute. And tomorrow when I go home, I will command him to leave my home. I will say, unbelief, you go in the name of Jesus. Say it now. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. We were just having a plain deliverance meeting. You know, this is not one like we usually conduct, but we don't have to do it the same way every time. The Lord might have a better way. I'm sure he does. We all do the best we can. You remember early Pentecost? I remember I had the rotten eggs and the rocks and the big mob outside. And I was graduating from high school in 1940, and we had a big revival going on in our church, and the devil was mad, and the landlord came and screamed, and it was terrible, and I was terribly embarrassed. I had honors in my class, and I was ashamed to even get up before the school. You know, it's hard on young people. Well, anyway, where was I now? I've lost my... Oh, at the school. No, I'm somewhere else. Oh, yeah, the lady on the floor. Well, eventually, we commanded that thing to come out, and it screamed out of her, and it left. So don't let that unbelief come back into you again, because he will try to come in even stronger than before. And let's just keep praising God. See, praise is a lot, and worship is the highest realm of praise. And we need to come into this. That was a beautiful worship service here at the beginning of the service today. Wasn't that beautiful? See, you can get delivered right there. There's a lot of ways to be delivered besides casting out. You overcome evil by doing good, don't you? So you try to do better. Do good instead of doing evil. Don't let evil overtake you. Casting out is very legitimate. Jesus said believers will cast out evil spirits. And whether or not, if you're believers, I used to work the book table. My dad said I always did have a lot of spizzorictum to me, but people would walk up and they'd see that book of Don Basham, Can a Christian Have a Demon? Now this was way back, you know, and they'd shudder. Before gospel conventions, they would shudder, and they'd look at me and they'd say, Can a Christian have a demon? I said, well, I believe they can. Well, what do you mean? We're saved. I said, well, the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. I said, is all things possible to you? Well, no. I said, well, why don't we work on your unbelief then? I said, when you get home, to work on your unbelief. When you get out in your prayer closet, work on your unbelief. We all need more. I tell you, it's a consternation to, I believe, every minister that has to go to the cancer floor and pray for people with cancer that the doctors say are dying. It is, you feel so, you know, it's so fatal. But, you know, I started to tell this a while ago. There was a woman sitting right down here where my sister, Miss Andrea, is 2 years ago. And I didn't know this, but we were coming against the strong man of infirmity and coming against the spirits of tumors and cancers and growths. And I didn't see much action right then. But she came up to me later and she said, you know, I have a cancer on my shoulder right here. And they did a biopsy and I have to have it taken off next week. And she said, but when you were praying, I felt this heat. Now, fire and heat is the presence of Almighty God. And when that heat hits you, I mean, just yield to it. Just yield. Oh, God, I'm yielding to this, whatever you're doing in my body. And she went home. And 2 days later, she phoned me late one night. She said, I took my shower, I put on my nightgown and my robe, and she always played this harp. And she said, I sat down to play to the Lord. And when I did, I felt something up here. And she looked, and here is this big thing dropped off in her hand. How many believe that God is a healer of growth? Hallelujah. Let's let him heal our cancers, our growth, our infirmities right now, shall we? Are we ready? Are we ready? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you for power and authority to pull down the strong man of infirmities and to bind the spirit of growth, tumors, cancers, and whatever else that you care to bind, because we're binding them. Whatever we're binding here, he's binding in heaven. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. We come against all this in the name of Jesus. I command you, enemy, come out of these people, these growths, these tumors. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. You are defeated. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All growths, all tumors, all fear of cancer, come out. Fear of cancer, fear of dying of cancer, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. You know, he has to obey us. He has to obey us. Now, if it doesn't come out today, he's bound, and you just keep praising God like she was just singing to the Lord. He just loves to be sung to. And this man knows how to sing. Oh, I wish I had a voice strong like yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What other infirmities are in here? Call them out. Yes. Diabetes. How many diabetics do we have in here? Don't be bashful. This is a Holy Ghost operating right now. Let's jump into the pool. Diabetes. Only one diabetic? Hyperglycemia. Okay, that's a form. Yes. Heart trouble. Heart trouble. Fatty tumors. We just come against the tumors a minute ago, but I'm just... Fatty tumors, you come out of her in Jesus' name. Yes, brain damage. Who said that? Your daughter has brain damage. Yes. Sore throat. High blood pressure. Headaches. Migraines. What? Blindness and deafness. Yes. Yes. Okay, I don't know if that would be called an infirmity or not. Right now we're working on infirmities. Yes? Kidney disease. Kidney disease. Yes? Back injury? Yes?
Hearing problems.
Hearing problems, okay. Okay. Insomnia. Okay, yes?
Obesity.
Obesity, and this is a terrible word for a nice lady like me to say, but I call it gluttony. That's what the Bible calls it. Gluttony. It's surfeiting. It's kin to drinking. Yes. Allergies. Yes, that's a... Okay, allergy. Skin diseases. Eczema and... What's that other stuff that gets...
Psoriasis.
Okay. I think that's enough Yes. Whiplash. Okay, nerve damage. All right. Jesus.
A lot of this is tied to ancestral curses.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Inherited things. Inherited diabetes. Inherited heart trouble. Inherited liver. Yes, liver. Envy brings you liver trouble. Yes. Cataracts of the eyes. Colitis, any kind of intestinal trouble, all right? Glaucoma and cataracts and all that stuff of the eyes. All right, now let's just praise the Lord a minute and get this anointing to come down again. We can't operate without the anointing. It's in vain. Oh, Lord, we just praise you now. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, that you're able to do exceedingly more than we can even ask or think. And, Lord, they've asked here today to be delivered from this infirmities and all of these things. And, Lord, we believe that you're able to do that. Lord, we are a whole group of believers. We come against all unbelief. We command unbelief to get out of here now. Lord, I praise you. 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 I come against heart trouble in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit that's on that heart, keeping that heart from operating perfectly. I command that heart, stand up, heart victims. Stand up, everybody that's got trouble with their heart. Okay, workers, will you go? Workers, will you go, please? Will you go, please, and start praying for heart trouble? All these workers, Gene, Dr. No, Brother Trotter.
Yes.
This is brain damage right here of her daughter. Okay, brain damage over here. Linda, can you pray for her? Right here in blue. Let the anointing destroy these yokes. All heart trouble, all heart trouble. I command every spirit that's hanging on to that heart valve to go in Jesus' name. We break the curses of infirmity. All the curses of infirmity, we command it to go now in Jesus' name. Command it to leave now in Jesus' name. All the curses of infirmities, go in the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord over his people. Jesus healed us at Calvary. At the whipping post, he healed us by his stripes. By his stripes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where's the Kleenex? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Rendelabosanda, the stripes of Jesus won us healing at Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ancestral curses, Glenn says. Glenn is really good at teaching on ancestral curses passed down from one generation to the other. Yes, we're going to just wait a minute till the workers get back in their seats. Now we're going to break these ancestral curses. Yeah. Now, that's diabetes. And what else would it be?
It can be a lot.
Yes. Heart attacks and curses of death. Curses of death pronouncements. You know, when you're mother conceived you, if she didn't really want a baby at that time, she could have wished she could lose the baby. All these things have a bearing. Satan is such a legalist. He'll tap into anything. You see that verse in the Bible where Jesus said, when Satan comes, he can find nothing in me. And he's looking for a place to light. And that's why we had some minister here, I don't remember, he said, we better start turning over every little pebble and repenting. Now, I am a firm believer. I don't know if Brother Carter believes this or not, but I'm a firm believer in repentance. I don't think it's out of style. Just because we've repented when we got saved, that doesn't mean anything. We should be repenting constantly. Repenting, asking for Jesus to let his blood flow down, his precious blood over our, you know, our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know them? We don't know what's there. We don't know what's been handed down. And Joel, the last verse of Joel says, I'm going to cleanse their blood that has not been cleansed. You see, there's so much in our bloodline, so much mixture way back. You know, 10 generations carries the curse of the bastard child in the Old Testament and the curse of incest. There's so much incest today in the body of Christ and in the world. Even Dear Abby calls it the closet demon. The closet demon, Dear Abby calls that. There's so much child molestation. I'm going to tell you a little story before we go back into this healing. Many people come to us, and of course it is very hard to get them to confess about any incest. Oh, okay. When they were young, maybe their grandfather or their brother or somebody molested them, and they have just lived with that pressure on them and that torment that Satan puts on them. He comes against them, and they blame themselves when they were little girls. It wasn't their fault. And we had a letter from a lady in a western state. It was 6 pages long before she could get around to really tell me what she needed to be prayed for about. But one of her uncles, I believe it was, I can't remember who it was, had molested her, and she had never married, and she was in her 70s, early 70s. Well, she said, now when you come out here, will you pray for me? So I wrote her back and said, we will, and I told her the address where we was going to be to come to the meeting. And, you know, something like that, we often do it back in the nursery because it is kind of an embarrassing thing, and Jesus doesn't want to embarrass anybody. And so the meeting went a little bit different than what we had planned, like a lot of our meetings do. But Glenn and I just went over and laid our hands on her, and I just whispered in her ear, "You spirit of incest, you come out of her now." And nothing really happened. But you know what? But she hated men. She'd always kind of hated men, you know, afraid of men. You know what? The next time we went out there, you know what I found out? That about 4 months after this prayer had gone up, she met a man that had lost his wife, and they got married. And they lived happily. I'm sure they're happy. Hallelujah. See, Jesus takes care of all these little problems in our life. He made atonement for all these things. Then Patty and I, one day there was another lady came, and he was very elderly, and she wanted to be prayed for back in the nursery. Well, that's all right. So we took her back there, and she had been molested, never married. She had been molested when she was a little girl. Are you all with me? Do you understand there's things like this in the world right now? So we took her back there, and we prayed for her. And you know what? She come out to, this was before the, it was during the noon hour. She came out to the afternoon service, and Chuck Flynn was having a release class, getting everybody prophesying and, you know, and getting really the body of Christ moving. And she stood up and gave a beautiful prophecy and never done it before. See, she was loosed from that torment. You know, when your mind is tormented, you can't even hardly pray. Isn't that wonderful what Jesus does? Isn't that wonderful what Jesus does? Now we're going to break these curses. I wish you could stand up and help me. Glenn broke his hip, Sister Wormendorf, 3 weeks ago. That was pulling a weed. Pulling a weed. Oh, we can take this. You know, when you've had a husband for 49 years, you sort of like to lean on him a little bit. And he is a champion on breaking curses.
Well, I don't know about that.
Isn't he?
The scripture tells us that sins of the fathers are visited in areas of the occult. In those areas to the third and the fourth generation having other gods. But the sins of illegitimacy and the sins of the incest and sexual sins are visited to the tenth generation. And when I came to that understanding, I realized that nobody knows anything, even your own one generation back, let alone ten. And I come to the conclusion that everybody is under the curse of incest. That there's no family that has ten generations that somewhere in that family line there hasn't been some type of incest. Incest is any type of sexual relations with any member of your family in any relationship which takes in aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and half-brothers and half-sisters and uncles and aunts and mothers and the whole gamut of a family. And I came to the conclusion that there's no family that isn't under that curse.
How many is with us now? Are you still okay with us?
Then in the curses of the infirmities, the Lord says that if we do certain things, He'll bless us, and He also says if we do certain things, we're cursed. And in the, I believe it's the 18th, 17th, or 18th chapter of Leviticus, it tells us that if we do these things, that God says you shall not do these things. Then in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, I believe it is, He says that if you do these things, why, you'll be cut off, or you're to be stoned. And to be cut off is not living out the allotted time that the Lord gives you. So if you die before your allotted time, for some reason, there's something there that has allowed Satan a right to cut you off. Satan is a legalist, and he takes every right that he can get. And if you're under some of these powers and these curses, Satan's going to hang on to the end of it. Then in the area of the sexual sins, or over in Deuteronomy chapter 27, I believe it is, and 28, God says that if you do these things, you're cursed. First He tells us you shall not do it. Then He says if you do, you'll be stoned or cut off. And then He says if you continue doing it, the third time He comes and He says you're cursed. He says, I curse you. I curse you for doing it. That God says that you're cursed. And then He says that not only are you cursed, but you're cursed for ten generations or three or four generations, whichever it applies to. But at the same time, he says we're blessed. So we need to come out from under the curses so we can live in the blessings.
Amen.
In the blessings. That's what we want. We want Abraham's blessings. Amen. But to have Abraham's blessings, we have to come out from underneath the bondages that we're under, even though we're not aware of it. There are areas that the Lord has showed us is that this is not true of everything, but in some areas, a sugar diabetes is caused from eating blood sausage and blood pudding. God says that you shall not eat it, period, ever. To all your generations, you shall not eat the blood. Yet we're rebellious against God, and we eat blood and have blood soup and blood sausage and blood pudding and all of these things. And you can buy it in the delicatessens, and people say, well, that's nothing wrong with it. Well, God says there is. God says it's that you shall not to all your generations. Then he also says you shall not eat the fat. And there are a lot of people who would rather eat the fat off of the meat than eat the lean. But God says it's mine and you shall not eat it. Now, we've been taught, Patty, we have a... but the doctors have told us in the last few years that we have high cholesterol. Why? From eating fat. See, God told us that 3,500 years ago. But we're so stubborn and rebellious, children of Israel rebellious, that we won't pay attention to God. So God says, okay, you don't pay attention, you got heart trouble. You ask for it, you won't obey my word, so you got heart trouble. Now, that's not the only cause of heart trouble. That's one of them, because we rebel against God's word. One of the causes of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia is because we rebelled against God's word and eat blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. It's one of the, it's not the only cause, but that is one of the causes, because the Lord has showed us that through experience. Things that have happened when we've been involved with praying with people. And they've showed these things, a lot of these things, to the Moody's and to others. The Lord don't just show it to one. He'll show it to any of us when we seek to know him and to come to an understanding of the word of the Lord. And then to apply it to our hearts. If he sees we're sincere, we want to walk before him. You know, there's a difference between one and being just delivered because I can feel better, and one to be delivered so I can serve God better.
And help others.
Yeah, you see? If we want deliverance so that we can serve God better and be a better example before him and minister for the Lord, that is really the cause that we should be seeking deliverance for. It's nice to have deliverance so you can feel better and be free of these things, but the purpose, really, God's reason for us wanting to have deliverance is that we can be an example and a light to the world. We'll be a light that's set on a hill that can't be hid. And it's because we seek to know him, to make Jesus Lord of our lives, to put him first and foremost, to make Jesus Lord. Then, if we come to the Lord in that attitude and in that way, we'll get deliverance a whole lot quicker. And it'll be lasting.
Yes.
It'll be a lasting deliverance because we've come that we can serve the Lord to a greater degree in our lives and be examples before men and testify of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Today, too many people just want help for me. I got a problem today and I want help for it. But tomorrow I'm not going. I won't. They don't end up serving God any better tomorrow than they did yesterday, after God brings restoration for them. And that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong reason. Yeah, we're an unthankful people. We're a nation of unthankful people. We're blessed with blessings beyond blessings, and yet we're unthankful. Help us to be a people that acknowledge Jesus and what he's done for us. And then it's because of him, because of Jesus. Not anything that we can do or anything we've done, but Jesus. Jesus. Well, let's pray for these ancestral curses.
Yes. Let's have the people with diabetes and hyperglycemia and heart trouble stand up again.
Well,
because
okay,
then we've got to come against when
I start praying, I'll just it'll all get covered before I quit.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Father, you can stand if you want. That's up to you. You can stand, sit. It's all right. Just agree with us. Father, I come as a priest this afternoon in behalf of these people and all that shall hear this tape. I stand and take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, and declare that he is Lord and there's no other Lord besides him. And Jesus is his name. And in the authority of the word of the living God, I take dominion over the powers of Satan. I take dominion over the ancestral curses. And I decree, Satan, that it is written that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curses. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became our curse. And this afternoon, Satan, I apply and I appropriate the word of the living God that Jesus became our curse. And this afternoon, I put the blood of Jesus against the sins of our ancestors. Father, we can do nothing for their sins, but I put the sins against the curses that have come down because of their sins. And I put the blood of Calvary to cleanse and to wash. And I break the powers of canceled sin, and I loose us from the curses of our ancestral heritage. I come against the curses of ancestral heritage in the sexual lines of incest, the abominations of bestiality and homosexuality and lesbianism. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate, and I break the powers of the foul spirits of in the sexual sins over these people this afternoon, and I loose us from the dominion of Satan, and I take his rights away, and I separate us, and I bind the spirits of the spirits that have rights to our bodies because of these sins, and I bind them to the day of judgment, command them to come out of these people and set them free, and I loose them by the authority and power of the living God in the name of Jesus, and I break the curses over them in Jesus' name. Spirits of incest, spirits of sexuality, spirits of lust, spirits of homosexuality and lesbianism and bestiality, I break your dominion and your power over these people. I bind your power to their judgment. Come out of these people. Set them free in Jesus' name. I loose them in the name of the authority of the living God. Move and come out in Jesus' name. I break your dominion and your power. I apply the blood of Jesus. I separate you out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. Break your dominion in Jesus' name. I loose them in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I come against the spirits of infirmities. I come against the inherited spirits, the familiar spirits. I come against the familiar spirit of infirmity, the inherited curses of infirmities. I take dominion over them. I put the blood of Jesus to separate and to cleanse. And I bind and break their powers in Jesus' name. I come against the curses that we've come under because of the sins of our ancestors or our own sins. And I apply and I appropriate the blood of Calvary and the blood of the Lord Jesus to separate these out. And I bind and break your dominion, you foul spirits of infirmities. I break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I loose us from the inherited sins of our ancestors. I come against the inherited sin of the familiar spirit of cancer, sugar, diabetes, heart trouble. I come against you, liver conditions, kidney conditions, bladder conditions, intestinal conditions, blood problems. I come against the inherited curses in our physical bodies, the spirits of infirmity. I bind and break your dominion over these people. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I speak healing and restoration to the physical body. I bind the familiar spirits of infirmities. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out and set the people free. Loose us in the name of the Lord. I bind and break your dominion. I take your rights away. I put the power and authority of the living God in Jesus' name. You said in my name I give you authority. In the name of Jesus I take that place of authority. I break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name, and I loose them. I set them free in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out and I break your power and dominion. Loose these people in Jesus' name. Praise you. Father, I go back there in the areas of the occult. I go back for 30 generations in the areas of the occult, witchcraft and the occult. I break your dominion and power over these people. I take away the inherited rights of you familiar spirits of the occult. I bind and break your dominion over these people. I break the powers of the occult. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Spirits of witchcraft, spirits of sorcery, spirits of Satan worship, I bind and break your dominion over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break your power. I bind you today of judgment. Powers of the occult, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I set the captives free. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. He coded out of my hoosier cut, coded out of my house. He kidded out of my hoosier cut, coded out of my hoosier cut, coded out of my house. He kidded out of my hoosier cut, coded out of my house. Hallelujah. Father, I come against the ancestral line of witchcraft and sorcery that someone may have passed down to the ancestral line. I come against the powers of the witch doctor. I come against the powers of the powwow. I come against the powers of the Indian medicine man. I come against the powers of witchcraft. I break that powers of the witch doctor and the powers of the medicine man. I loose us from the inherited curse of it. Anyone who's had in that heritage, I break the powers of it. I break the powers of the inherited powers of the druids. I break that cursed power of the druids. Anyone in that ancestral heritage, I break the dominion of it over them in Jesus' name. I set them free and break that dominion in the name of the Lord. I bind and break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Ye kodi da 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 ma hushi kat kodi da 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 ma ha. Ye kodi da 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 ma hushi kat kodi da 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 ma ha. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I come against the areas of that we are bound by tradition. I come against the tradition of the elders. I come against the tradition of denominations. I bind and break the areas of traditions, the areas where we're bound in by the tradition. I break the shell of tradition off of us. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I break the traditions of the elders. I break the curse of it. I break the curse of denominationalism. I break the dominion of it. I loose this congregation from it. I loose us from it. We shall walk before thee. We shall be holy before thee. We shall walk in the holiness and righteousness of the Lord, not bound by the errors, but by the error of our elders. I loose us from the error of our elders. I loose us from the errors of traditions. I break the bondages of it over. I break the curse of it. I loose us from the curse of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I come against the spirits of control, mind control, control of others that control us but through their thought or through their deed. I come against the soul ties that we're bound to anybody by a soul tie. I come against every soul tie because of sexual relations with someone that was not right. I come against every soul tie because we have agreed with something that with somebody that was not as it should have been. I take a dominion over the soul ties. I break the soul ties against between us and everyone that we have been associated with in any way that was not godly. I break the soul tie. I loose us from it. I cut it off and break and sever the umbilical cord in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to loose our minds.
Yes.
Loose our minds, Lord, to rightly divide your word.
Yes, to revelation.
Help us, Lord, to understand your word, to come to a revelation and understanding of your word. Lord, the areas of our understanding of your word, that is error. Help us, Lord, to see the error and then to be willing to change, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be loosed from the traditions and the teachings of our elders, Lord, that have taught us certain things, that if we study, help us to study, to rightly divide the word. But that we ourselves shall be sure of our calling and our understanding of your word. Lord, help us to rightly divide it, Lord, that we'll study to show ourselves approved unto thee, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, standing forth declaring, thus saith the word of the Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To fill every area. I thank you for the scars and stripes of the whipping post. I thank you, Father. Father, we don't understand. We can't comprehend the scars of the whipping post. But in your word it is written that it's for the healing of our physical bodies. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the leaves of the trees by the river of life that are for the healing of the nations. Father, I thank you for healing and restoration. Father, I command these physical bodies to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. I command the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus to enter into every physical body here that needs a touch from the living God by the scars and stripes of the whipping post. I command the healing virtue of the Lord to flow into our physical bodies and into my physical body to bring restoration. We shall stand forth temples of the living God, full of the Holy Ghost, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Father, I thank You for the Holy Ghost to fill us, to flood us with the glory of Thy majesty. Fill us, O God, with Thy glory. We shall glorify Thee. Praise and worship belongs unto Thee. Praise and worship belongeth unto Thee. We will praise Thee. We will worship Thee. We will, I declare, that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Majesty and dominion, power and authority. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus.
How many know where we're going when we get delivered? I don't mean to the lunchroom. How many know?
We're going to Zion.
We're going to Zion, aren't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to Zion. Hallelujah. In Zion. Those cameras have all new songs about Zion. Let's see, what is that one about? Something about in Zion there's praise and joy and, oh, I don't know, they dance around, you know. Well, praise God, praise God. Now, did we miss anything that you feel left out that you want us to pray about? We never prayed about the intestinal problems and colitis and obesity. Did you come? He's so skinny.
I said every infirmity.
Okay, every infirmity. Well, what about overeating? Is that an infirmity?
What?
No. Overeating and gaining weight. How many feel that you would like to have a prayer about that? Gluttony? Oh, that's a terrible word. Is that a terrible word? No wonder you're at 1,000 calories a day. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you?
Pray for the besetting sin.
Oh, yes. All the besetting sins. Surfeiting, gluttony, overeating, overindulgence. Oh, we see that chocolate pie and we get so excited. And those Hershey candy bars, don't we, Dr. No? I know who buys Hershey candy bars. I watch who's buying back there. You know, I'm watching you all the time. Oh. Oh. Linda's saying, oh. Well, we need to be temperate in all things. And intemperance is an evil power that just overtakes. You know, we just slide over all these things that we're so used to sliding over, and we don't call it sin. We just say, oh, it's the works of the flesh. And that Dr. Rod Johnson, he was right on my subject this morning, and I'm going to read it again because he doesn't know what he's done wrong. But he didn't do anything wrong. But the Holy Ghost, you know how He just weaves everything sort of together?
Yes.
And He just weaves it in. I would like, before we go on, we've got to 5 o'clock, so we've got to stretch this service a little bit. Yes, Gus? Well, that's not very good. We all do it sometimes. We all do it. I want to read you. No, we're going to receive. First of all.
Okay, go ahead, and then I've got another thing to pray for.
Okay.
I did miss something.
You know, you've lost a lot of the bad guys out of you. We don't want to say devils and get you all upset.
No,
so,
devils.
Huh? Well, he's saying it, but I'm going to call them the bad guys. Now, there's a lot of these things that have come out of you that you don't even know that you had in there, but you've got this vacuum. Now, what the Lord is after is to totally give us, make us full of the Holy Ghost. Not just, you know, so I have one minister friend, and sometimes when I'm around him, he'll say, Irma, you just minister out all the Holy Ghost, and you don't have that much in you now. Why don't we pray? I said, why don't we? You know, we have to learn about all these things. We used to tarry at the altar. Well, they don't tarry much anymore. Remember those 3 o'clock in the morning services? But we're going to ask the Lord to pour down on us the 7 spirits of God. I'm going to read you what they are. Because when we get totally free, we are going to be able to break every curse in the earth. We'll be broken by the overcomers. That's where we're going. Boy, it's hard work, too. But Jesus, in us, as he grows up in us, he's going to do it. But we are the vessel. You get that?
Yes.
Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. I'm reading out a little book on preparation for entering the kingdom that Glenn and I have written. These overcomers are the branches of the Lord, and upon them will rest the 7 spirits of God. We can't even imagine, can we, what it's going to be like to have this total full anointing like Jesus walked the earth. He said, I'm going to give you power and authority. And we just read that and we think, oh well. But you know, he gives us more power than what we give him credit for. But the more of the Holy Ghost we get in us, and it's anointing that's not only going to break the yoke that Satan has put on us, but it's the anointing that's going to destroy the works of Satan. What is that scripture about? What Jesus came to do? To destroy the works of Satan? Is that a scripture? Yes. Yes, that's why he was manifested. We're going to come in to this 100% anointing. I wish we all had it today, don't you? We could just walk downtown. Who knows what all the Lord would have us do. Clean out hospitals. Dr. Price used to tell us that, didn't he? He used to say that laymen was going to walk into hospitals and clean out the whole place, and nobody would even know who was praying, who prayed. You know, we get so our eyes on all these different ministries, and we can't see the Lord. And Dr. Price saw that in a vision, that laymen would walk in. And Catherine Kuhlman had somewhat of that type of a ministry, because I remember, you know, if you've ever been in her services, she called Mr. Big. She's always talking about Mr. Big called for her to come, you know, to the hospital. Mr. Big happened to be Howard Hughes when he was on his deathbed. And she came to, was it Mount Sinai Hospital? Anyway, the big hospital in Hollywood. And when she walked down the aisle, do you know what happened? Down that floor of his hospital, everybody in those beds walked out healed. Now, how many would like to see that kind of anointing on the face of the earth? Wouldn't that be wonderful? 100%. All right. Romans 8 says, oh God, we don't need to have a name, do we? We've got the name of Jesus. That's all we need. It's not the Millers or the Moody's or the Trotters. It's the name of Jesus. It's how much Jesus do we have in us. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Sometimes I think it says in one rendition, standeth on tiptoe, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now don't let that phrase scare you. That's the overcomers. Now here is Isaiah 11, 2 and 5. Now this is the 7 spirits of God. How many has ever had any teaching on the 7 spirits of God? And the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him, Jesus. And Jesus is in us. How many believe Christ Jesus lives in us? Let's say that right now so we'll get this straight. Christ Jesus lives in me. Christ Jesus lives in me. All right. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, in us. The Spirit of wisdom, it's not going to be a word of wisdom anymore. That's a gift. It's going to be all wisdom, because Jesus is wisdom. It's going to be, and the Spirit of understanding. You know, we don't understand this Bible altogether. The disciples walked right along with Jesus, and he'd tell them things, and they'd get behind his back, and they'd say, what's he talking about? They didn't understand. We need our understanding. We need the 7 spirits of God for understanding. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. I tap into that all the time. Lord, I need the Spirit of might to come upon me. When you're real tired, ask for the Spirit of might to come.
Oh, you feel so invigorated? I feel lots better now than I did when I was sitting over there wondering what I was going to say, what the Holy Ghost was going to say. The spirit of knowledge. Knowledge is light. Light is knowledge. You say, I got the light on that. That meant you got the knowledge on that. And the fear of the Lord. I would say that 90% of Christians have no fear of the Lord. They don't reverence Him. They don't, I don't know what they do. But we need to have this fear of the Lord. And shall make of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and He shall not judge. We will not be judging after the sight of our eyes. You know, we can judge people. We see somebody, boy, snap judgment right away. We don't like them, and they're wearing the wrong thing, and all this baloney. Neither reprove after the hearing of His ears. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity, and for the meek of the earth, and so on. And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and so on. Now, I want to give you another scripture for writing it down. Daniel 7 and 18. You can get this little book back there. Preparation of entering the kingdom. Now, I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt going on about the kingdom of God. Let's don't get too excited about it. Every new thing that comes on the horizon that the Lord does, there's always the old order that fights it. I remember the old order fought the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into the full gospel. My mother went to her grave saying those old Catholics can never have, they don't have the real Holy Ghost. Well, I talked to Kevin Ranahan, and I told him, I'm sorry that we have talked against the Catholics. I asked him to forgive me, and he says, and I'm sorry I talked against the Protestants. Will you forgive me? And I said, yes, I will. Daniel 7:18. Daniel declares that the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom and reign forever and ever. Reign forever and ever. What in the world does that mean? Are you saints out there? What about that? Saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and reign forever and ever. In the book of Isaiah, the whole book of Isaiah almost is about the kingdom of God. I know there's a lot of problems, but early Pentecost, you think we didn't have a lot of problems? We did the best we could. Now, Mrs. Beale thought the only way you got the Holy Ghost, because that's the way she got it, was putting her head in the oven, drying her hair, putting it in the oven, and that's how she got the Holy Ghost. So everybody that come to her house in those early days, she would get them, wet their head, put their head in the oven, and pray for them, and they'd get the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, I worked with the scientists and the engineers to go to the moon. I'm telling you, we went to the moon and back so many times in every way conceivable until they got it perfect. They wrote reams, and we typed reams, and praise God, if it wasn't for that Apollo program that the Lord gave us, this campground would probably never be in existence, because that was the money. Little did I ever dream when I was typing night and day, and all those girls, and we were tearing out our hair trying to get everything done for those scientists so they could get to the moon. I never did have one doubt that they were going to go. We got with the program. We got with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, as you Christians, get with the program of where we're going in God and get in the Spirit of one accord, we're going to go places in God. I mean, we won't have any more churchy services. This is not a church. I suppose you know that by now. I run around with paper towels under my arm praying for people because sometimes they vomit up, and once they vomited in my shoe, so I learned the hard way, you carry paper towels and don't try to catch it in your hand. But you see, that's all the old gunk, that all that poison in our body, it has to come out.
Yeah.
And you know what the word cast out means? You probably know. First meaning in the dictionary. To vomit and give a quick jerk and breathe out. Yes, yes. Isn't that? Doesn't Jesus make everything simple?
Yes.
He doesn't make it complicated. We make it complicated.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to pray for the Lord. to allow the seven spirits of God to come down in all these areas where this enemy was cast out, and you're going to be more powerful tomorrow than you were, well, tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my land, who knows what he's going to do tonight when the Holy Ghost starts falling and all of you are right with him. You know, I'm always amazed that we can have a meeting until we get all these evil powers, but every night it seems to be good, and then pretty soon we have a real camp meeting the last day, and then we have to all go home. All right, let's all look right at Jesus. He's the one that's going to pour it out now. All right, right at Jesus. Lord, we ask you to pour out the Spirit of the Lord upon us and rest upon us of that part where Jesus lives in us, and the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding in our minds, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. All the tiredness must go, and might. We need to be mighty warriors. Not half-hearted, but mighty. The Spirit of knowledge and understanding and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Lord, I receive those this afternoon. I receive those. I minister those to the people of God. Oh, just drink in. He says, come to me and drink. Just take a big gulp and drink in the Spirit. The glory is coming down on this room again. Let the glory fall, Lord. Let the glory cloud cover us now. Fill these people with the seven spirits of God in all these vacancies where these evil powers were living, where these diseases were living. We thank you for restoration of our bodies. Lord, you say we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you know how to repair us. You know how to reconstruct our bodies to make us healthy and strong, and I praise you for it. I praise you for it. I praise you for it. Now I'm going to go into one more thing, and then Glenn's going to come over here. And you know, I never thought we could ever get through this camp meeting with all the problems. You know, we have problems. We're just like all of you. Problems. And especially when we're going to have a camp meeting, everything starts happening. Now we're going to talk about Mount Zion. That's where we're going, up the mountain. The closer you get up to Mount Zion, oh, the big boys of the enemy is going to be there, those principalities and powers, and we're going to have to be clean. And everything the Holy Spirit pricks you, repent right then. Let the blood of Jesus trickle down. I tell you, when the blood of Jesus comes down, these demons don't want to stay anyway. And repent. Say, Lord, I've done that. Lord, forgive me. Okay. Jeremiah 3:14 says, he will take one of a city, Jack used this, I think, and two of a family, and bring it to Zion. Now see, there's a remnant coming forth. The whole body of Christ is not too interested in what we're doing here today. I'm very sorry to say. And I wasn't interested until I got a taste of what it was like, and now I just want more and more deliverance so I can get in prayer lines and get prayed for and scream or whatever it takes to get these things out of us. He'll take one of a city and two of a family and bring you to Zion. Joel 2:32 says, in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Well, if they don't like deliverance now, they won't be very comfortable in Mount Zion, will they? Ooh. Obadiah verse 17. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, and I'm going to read out of my Bible. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Oh, won't that be wonderful? And there shall be holiness.
Yeah.
I wonder if we really know exactly what holiness in our inner being. But we're learning. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now let's read the last verse of Obadiah. And saviors or deliverers, center references, deliverers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Esau is a type of the flesh, isn't it? And the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now I want to read you one scripture in 1 Timothy 4:16. No, I think I'm going to read a few more verses than one. Let's see. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he said, let no man despise thy youth. Should we be despising anybody? Oh, that's wrong. But be thou an example of the believers in word and in your conversation and in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're all examples. You know, some our neighbors might say, if they are Christians, who needs that? You know? We're walking epistles, read of all men. We're being washed by the world. Till I come, give attendance to reading. That's still good today, to read the Bible. To exhortation, to be exhorted. And to doctrine. Now, we're going to have to drop off a lot of our old doctrines that we were taught. Keep the good ones. But if you see something in the Bible that reads a little bit different than what you've been taught, you know, we've believed over the years so many things, and we've got it a little wrong. But he says to give attendance to reading, and neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, we've had a lot of laying on of hands, not as much this time as we do in longer camps. Meditate upon these things. In other words, think on these things. They're all good things. Think on good things. Don't think on all the bad things. Give thyself wholly to them. That means thoroughly, totally, that thy profiting may appear to all.
Yes.
Take heed unto thyself. One other place the Bible says in Joel, rend thy heart, not thy garments. That word rend means tear into it. Get down in there and all that sin, bad stuff that you don't even want to think about. And ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light on your heart and show us what's there that's not right.
Amen.
And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Hallelujah.
That's the reference from these saviors will come from Mount Zion. Isn't that something?
Hallelujah.
I mean, from in Obadiah. In Obadiah, that's in Obadiah. Saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. Now, let me see. What else am I going to tell you? There's so much that the Lord is showing to the body of Christ about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and what happens? The violent take it by force. This was kind of violent here this afternoon. Now, if this were full of people clear to the back, there'd have been a lot more violence. But it was bad enough. You know, this is kind of earth-shaking. But I'm telling you, whatever it takes, just let us move on up towards Zion.
Yes.
And let us seek the Lord. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. We have prayed, thy kingdom come, and then we fight it. Oh, you ought to hear all. You know, a lot of people will call and say, oh, they're doing so-and-so down there. I said, well, have you been there? Well, no. Have you gone to test the spirits? No. We went down to Earl Polk's church, tested the spirits. Boy, it was good. There was 400 people on a Wednesday morning at a deliverance service that a black man and a lady were conducting. And it was just wonderful spirit there. Now, we all have mistakes and things happen, but let's don't be fighting everything that we don't understand. You know, people fought the Holy Ghost. They fought tongues. They fought us in the early days. They fight us now. But we just march right on. Go on up to Zion. Forgive everybody that hurts you and just go right on up to Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not in word and power. I have gone through the Bible and got every scripture that I could find on the kingdom of God. And they're all written here. And that's what I really was going to teach on. And then I was going to get to Brother Rod Johnson's scripture that he read in Galatians 5, 19 and 21. You know, people will say to me, well, it's only the flesh. It's only the flesh. Now, let me read this to you. He read it today, but get your Bibles open or write it down so you can look at it carefully. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, they say, oh, we just got a paper the other day from someplace. Where we've been, we didn't speak, but I read between the lines. I knew what he was getting at. He says, adultery and fornication is not coming from evil spirits, it's only the flesh. Well, that's nice. Sounds nice, but I'm afraid that's a wrong doctrine. Adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I've got all these words looked up in dictionaries. In all the dictionaries I can find, I've got all the meaning of this. So you can just really rend your heart by going through this. Lasciviousness, how many know what lasciviousness is? That's kind of a big word. We don't hear much preaching about that. It's all kinds of vulgar, off-color talks, immorality, wantonness, unrestrained. Witchcraft. Don't tell me witchcraft's not a spirit. See, it's the works of the flesh. When the enemy comes, he can only land on our flesh where the Holy Spirit has not regenerated us, where we haven't repented. He's going to land any place that we haven't repented. And you mark my word that there's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth when this is found out, because the enemy is going to come with, he's so mad now, he's coming with enough fury, but it's going to be worse. Hatred. Oh, have you ever been in church splits where they hate?
No.
Such hatred, one side hates the other side. It's really terrible. Variances, emulations, wrath, strife. These are all works of the flesh. Seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. A lot of people say, oh, everybody's in the kingdom of God. No, they are not. No, they are not. If they've got these things in them, the Bible, it just says that they're not, doesn't it? It's very logical. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, oh, we got all that. Hebrews 6 and 1 says, let us go on to perfection, full growth, and this we will do if God permits. But he's not going to let us go one bit further until we take care of the things that he's talked to us about. He's not going to permit it. He just says, let us go on to perfection if God permits. This we know in Ephesians 5 and 5, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. All of these scriptures have to do with, you know, we are between Genesis and Jesus. There was 4,000 years, wasn't there? And now we've got almost 2,000 years. We're in the year 1990. That's almost 2,000 years. And in God's arithmetic, he has the longest days. I was thinking, oh God, how can you stand 1,000 years as a day? His day is 1,000 years, and we're right at the end of the sixth day, and we're coming into the seventh day. There's a lot on the Bible about the seventh day. And there's a lot in the Bible that Jesus said, on the first day I'll do what cures, and I'll do... I didn't look up that scripture. But we're living in times that we've never walked this way before. We've never been. But he's going to lead us. If you want to be led, and you hold on to him, he's going to lead you into wonderful areas of ministry. Wonderful areas of ministry. Now, Glenn, are you ready to pray again? How many feel you've learned anything today?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, what it boils down to is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And that's the end line. Do you want to be part of the kingdom? Do you want to enter in? There has to be holiness. There has to be holiness. And our hearts have to have a hunger and a desire for it. We have to search and seek for it. It's not going to come to you just because you talk about it, just because you hear about it. You have to look for it. And Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from receiving it. He's going to do everything he can to guide you astray. But we have to set our sights on Zion.
Yes.
And declare that Jesus is Lord, and I will serve the Lord.
I will.
It amounts to each one of us individually. I will serve the Lord.
Yes.
We can do our best for those about us, but then in the end, it comes down to me. I will serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Will you be one who says, I will serve the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. And in doing so, there's going to be a lot of things. I don't care the theologians or no theologians. We're going to find a lot of things along the road that we're going to find are different than we learned from our elders.
That's the
hard thing for us to comprehend is that we change. It's hard to change. We have to determine that I will do whatever I see or I understand as the Lord reveals Himself to me through His Word. Through His Word. We take what we're taught, take what I teach, but examine it. See if these things be so. If they don't be so, then for goodness sakes, you don't have nothing to do with them. That's right. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. The Lord says that He will have a people who will be known by His name. They're walking holiness and righteousness for His name's sake.
Without spot or wrinkle.
And they're called the overcomers. The overcomers. I think for a few minutes tonight, maybe 10 minutes, I'll talk about that just before Brother Trotter ministers tonight. I'll talk about the overcomers. That's my desire, to be an overcomer. That's my goal, to be an overcomer. And it's not something that's handed to you on a silver platter. It's not something that you'll get because you say you want to. Something that you'll get because you put your everything in you to achieve it. That's the only way you're going to get it, is to put everything in you. Well, I'm going to pray for another item here that I left out a while ago, and that's addictions. I did not pray for addictions. There are lots of addictions, many types of addictions. There's addictions of drugs, tobacco, alcohol, food, TV. There's lots of addictions. And some people are bothered by one phase of addiction and others are not bothered. Some people get deliverance when they get saved from one area, and another area they have to fight for. I don't understand that. God knows the reasons for it. But if you got everything given to you without any fight, you wouldn't appreciate it. We need to appreciate what the Lord is doing for us and has done for us and will yet do for us. And we come into a lot of these areas by just plain old guts and fight. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You get it because you say it's mine and I'm going to have it. Because it is written that it's mine. Abraham's blessings are mine.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If they're not given to me on a platter, I have to. You say you get grace. Yes, we have grace. Salvation is grace. Or some of these other things that are there, we're going to achieve to them because we work for them. Amen.
Press in.
Yeah. Addiction.
Press toward that mark.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.